You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
TMZ, oh my goodness.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I think he's the philosopher of football.
It's great that everyone can give their opinion.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Find me. Find me. I don't care anymore. So drain my bank account.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS studios in Midtown Manhattan. I am Andrew Wiebe with my solitary partner in soccer, Kalen Carr. I just need you, man. Just the two of us.
Yeah. What? Is there a mutiny? What happened here?
I don't know. The transfer window did just close.
I was going to say.
So maybe Anders, producer Anders, made something happen behind the scenes that I don't know about.
Yeah, or everybody's holding out.
Maybe that too. Is there a group of Aaron Longs here? Aaron Long, though.
Who would be the diva?
He's acting professionally. He is playing, doing his thing.
Who's a bigger diva,
obviously,
would you say?
Doyle.
I was going to say Doyle or Warshaw, but it's Doyle.
It's Doyle.
It's not even close.
It's Doyle. On principle, Warshaw would stick around. Yeah, for sure. We got a big show for you, despite the fact that it is just the two of us.
Don't do that.
Okay, I'll stop. U.S. Open Cup. Some incredible games. Some top-level pettiness. Just so much pettiness. Joseph Martinez. Adrian Heath calling out MLSsoccer.com. I don't know what he has.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Not MLS.com. So I don't know what he has with realtors, but we'll dig into that in just a little bit, because he couldn't have been talking about us.
Leagues Cup was strange. We had Alex Morgan with the popcorn gif.
Yes.
We had the cat going across the pitch. Open Cup is just petty.
Yeah.
It's just Joseph Martinez on his couch just enjoying life, living.
Orlando.
Oh. Yeah, I just had to throw that in for
you. And then Adrian Heath. He's not letting this one go.
No, he's definitely not letting this one go. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk to Pablo Maurer of The Athletic about Wayne Rooney. Because he's taking his leave in a little while, at the end of 2019, but he's going to Derby County. His time with DC United has an expiration date, and it's the end of this season. They also made a ton of moves in the window we'll talk to Pablo about. And then we have former Impact Technical Director Adam Braz on to walk us through everything that happened on MLS deadline day and what we should know and think about all the little intricacies. Did the Galaxy game the system? What will Brian Rodriguez be for LAFC? Who are the big winners? Adam Braz will help us out with that.
Team Boyan here.
You're a big Boyan guy?
I'm all over it.
We'll let you wax poetic about that in just a second. We'll also talk MLS Week 23, the games to watch. Maybe hit the mailbag if we get there. I am heartbroken. We will not get my 9 beautiful minutes with DeMarcus Beasley, Run-DMB, Bees, that we recorded yesterday. But that will be coming very, very soon in the show. Let's get right to it. U.S. Open Cup, this is what I need. Pettiness. I like the final. I just don't like that it's going to be in Atlanta. Atlanta, Minnesota United, August 27th at Mercedes-Benz on ESPN Networks. The time, all that stuff. We'll get to that as soon as we know it. Atlanta knocked off Orlando. They've never lost to Orlando. 2-0 in Orlando. This was the big opportunity for the Lions to make some noise, to maybe salvage their season if they don't make the playoffs. They did not do that. And then, with Joseph Martinez sitting at home in his beautiful backyard patio, watching, captioning videos that says, "Great win, babies," Joseph Martinez drops the quote.
Orlando.
I mean, and then he takes the bite of the hors d'oeuvre.
Wait, this is outside?
It's outside. This is larger than my apartment.
I was going to say, his outside of his crib looks way nicer than
any interior
I've ever been
in. And you just got a new apartment. Yeah,
yeah,
and so it certainly doesn't measure up. The only way I know this is outside is there's a hammock. Then again, he could have the hammock inside. I don't know.
At least he had the courtesy not to film the video in the hammock.
Correct. That, good point.
That would have been extra petty.
Yeah, he definitely should have done that. This is the audio-visual representation of pettiness. And it's wonderful. Joseph Martinez got booed at the All-Star game in Orlando, called out Orlando fans during the skills challenge.
I love that. Susanna Collins interviewed him, and he was like, she was like, "Hey, what do you think I can, do you think you could score here?" And he's like, "It's Orlando. Of course."
Or, you mean, Orlando. Just have to say it in those words. I'm sorry, Lions
we're
fans. It's just,
too much.
It's really enjoyable for neutrals. Congratulations to Atlanta. We'll see what happens with Joseph Martinez. That hamstring injury, whatever is keeping him out. They better hope that doesn't last too long.
Orlando had their chances too.
They did.
They had a bunch of opportunities. I felt like this game was there for them if they were able to get on the board early. Of course, the offside call that was clearly offside, and then some good looks later. Sasha Dom had some really good looks. The guys you want in those positions. positions, unlucky. And then even at the end, they had a chance maybe to try and claw their way back in. But
Really is the story of this. I mean, are we still like giving it the air quotes rivalry? Probably, because Orlando haven't won a game. The pettiness is there. The animosity is there. The results just aren't quite there yet. I think it's a rivalry. I pray for the day that Orlando win it. And I'm not getting emails in the middle of extra times. Had to pipe through that sound from Joseph, though. But Minnesota, there you got your, let's call it, I guess it's not really a Cinderella story anymore. It would have been the last 2 years. But for their Open Cup history, it kind of is. They lost to Kansas City so many times, just couldn't quite get over the hump, always the underdog. Well, now they're in the final. They're going on the road. Mason Toy, he's tearing it up this year in limited minutes. I believe 6 goals in like 400-some minutes, 3 assists. He's 20. He's an American. He looked like Thierry Henry scoring the game winner against the Portland Timbers at Allianz Field. And Charlie Davies, throughout this broadcast, who knows a thing or two about strikers for the U.S. national team, was calling out Greg Berhalter and Jason Christ, the coach of the U23, saying, guys, are you watching? Are you seeing this player? He has something. We should get a better look at him.
Well, I don't know as much about scoring goals as Charlie Davies does, but I do know a little bit about kicking through the Open Cup and using that as a springboard. In my rookie season, I led the Open Cup in goals and went all the way to the final. Similarly, I didn't start the final, so start Mason Toy, because that one still burns. We won the championship, got a ring. Shout out to Chicago Fire.
Are you listening, Adrian Heath?
It really has been his opportunity to really build some minutes, get 90 minutes under his belt in meaningful matches, and really use that as a springboard to the league system. And I've been thinking this for a while, personally, about him with the national team, but I've been trying to kind of hold back and restrain myself.
Normally, you're that guy. You're like, slow the hype train down.
You see a couple good performances and you see these flashes from him, especially his movement around the box, his soft feet, his composure, the way he's been able to finish some of these goals. And then you look at his age, he's 20 years old, 6'3". Then you look at the depth in the United States pool right now, especially at the number 9 position, and we keep yearning, who is the next person? You saw the outrage and really upset from the U.S. soccer fan base about not having Josh Sargent in the player pool for the Gold Cup this summer. But when you look at it, you got to give this kid a look, especially in the January camp. That would be a perfect time to see him in action, because when I'm looking at the pool, I'm seeing some really nice pieces as far as skill set that he has. Soft feet, good understanding. He can stretch the field in behind. He has a good understanding of movement, being able to pass the ball as well. I thought he looked really good, along with Jeremy Obobese, by the way, with that nice pass.
Oh, that one-touch pass was delicious. And I love that this game on a Wednesday night is Dave Goss on the sideline, Charlie up in the booth with Max Bredos. That's a great combination on the Open Cup. You know they're all going to bring the passion for it. And then you have two young American strikers with big-time moments.
So I've been trying to hold back on the toy train, but I'm all in right now.
I really think he
can be something special.
I like it, too. He also borrowed, Thierry Henry's hips on this one. The swivel, the limberness.
I thought you were going to say with the goal celebration.
Oh, a little bit of that, too. That was a little more Charlie Davies.
That was. Charlie was feeling that one.
I like that. I like
that's
that
me.
An awful lot. So let's just talk about Adrian Heath's words afterwards. He celebrated the win. They're going to the final. All right. That's all great. But, man, he reads the power rankings, apparently. And he said, MLS.com, again, MLSsoccer.com. we're just looking for accuracy here. And the comparisons that have been made to Atlanta by the website that we work for, and it's natural because they both came in the league at the same time. He says, quote, the flags will be at half mast in that building because Minnesota made the final. I don't know that we have flags. I've never seen flags.
Can I give you my take on this?
Sure.
I think this is performance art at its best.
Just kiss the fingers.
I mean, it is amazing.
Tell the chef that
the fact that Heath can continually mention us without actually saying it right,
which
is perfect,
probably intentional. I would
think.
Oh,
it's great. It's like I don't even know your name. It's like, oh, this Schmiebe guy.
Right.
He's
how's Caleb? How's he doing?
It's genius.
Yeah,
it's so good. And I also think there's a part of it too, where this is taking on the personality of defining what the team is. It's not just about Weeby. I'm sorry. I know it is.
I don't even think it is about me. I think it's probably about Doyle and Warshaw.
Okay. Well,
Yeah. But I like that. It's the chip on the shoulder thing.
It's a little bit of the character of this team. When you're going into a final in Atlanta, probably 70,000 people, you need a little bit of a clear, defined personality. And I've been in these situations where you go and you play against the Galaxy on the road, and you're just like, everybody I know what that feels like to say, oh, the league or everybody wants
for sure
this team to win.
He's talking about MLS Cup. Definitely talking about me in that sense. I think Dom Kinnear had basically these thoughts for us.
Well,
before.
It was mostly towards Simon Borg at the time, really.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you actually.
I was Simon Borg's like emissary. I was his representative in Houston.
But often. When Adrian says, hey, if you need the address to Minnesota or to Minneapolis or Twin Cities, I can help you out. And I felt that way where it's like, where's everybody from MLS? Are they coming to Houston?
Yeah.
I only see you when we play Kansas City in conference final. Right. Not even the first round. But now I'm on the other side and I'm a part of the problem.
For sure.
And so is Adrian, by the way. He joined our show.
He was, he did some work for us during the playoffs.
He's a part of the problem too.
Yeah. He definitely knows the actual HTTP. I mean, obviously, if he's visiting it, so he probably knows it. But look, congratulations to Adrian and Minnesota United. They are in their third year doing what they said they wanted to do in their third year.
In the league, in the tournament format, and I think this actually could be something that could push them on. You see how they are in tournament play. If they get to MLS Cup playoffs, which they're in prime position
for
right now, and probably getting some home games even, this is a team that I think can make the road. When you see Manone, watch, I'm getting excited.
Yeah, you are getting excited.
Over the mic. You see Manone, you see Ike, you see Ozzy, you see the spine of this team going forward. You add Toy in there, and you see a revitalized Quintero. That's a team that can hurt teams.
Right now, Quintero kind of looks a little bit like bored, and that's maybe a good thing for Minnesota, because if they can, as you said, re-engage him, all of a sudden their ceiling jumps up really, really high. Some other action domestically, Canadian Championship. Looks like it's going to be the Canadian Classique in the final. We've seen that before, Toronto FC and Montreal. The Cavalry of the CPL have a chance against the Impact. They lost 2-1. Nacho Piatti, two goals. That's awesome. Love to see him back. Bojan, Nacho, make that stretch run. A lot of teams ramp it up. And Toronto FC won 2-0 against Ottawa. The second legs are next week to decide the final there. Let's just talk about the biggest news. Maybe, probably. Yeah, I think probably of the week and deadline day. Before we get to Adam Braz, that's Wayne Rooney. He is saying adios to DC and Major League Soccer at the end of the year. He will go to Derby County in the championship to be a player coach under Philip Koku. Good opportunity for him. All the reporting, everything that's been said, even Wayne basically said it himself. His family they weren't settled. They weren't happy. His wife wanted to be closer to home. They basically lived in a 40-mile radius for their entire lives. Now they're going back to the north of England in Derby. That's what they had to do to give us more insight on that. It is Pablo Maurer of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter, at MLSs. Pablo, what's up, man?
How's it going? Doing good.
Yeah, I mean, you're operating on how much sleep. How much you been on the phone the last, I want to say, 4 days?
Yeah, it's been exhausting. This is probably, obviously I've been around the block for a little bit here, but this is my first window probably as a full-timer, so it's been nerve-wracking for sure.
Wayne Rooney, the big name, you were out in front on this reporting. It feels like it happened quick. My instinct is to say that it didn't happen quick, at least not on the inside. So just tell us what you know. What happened here?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard things for the past 3 or 4 weeks, and certainly, it seems out in the open now. Wayne sort of talked about it to his family, particularly his wife, Colleen, maybe hasn't adjusted too well to life in the States. That I've heard about for a little while as well, but I tend not to press on personal issues with players, so I wasn't shocked. I mean, what I'll say is I was surprised. Sort of when I heard about it at first, the idea I thought was that he was always going to leave after 2020, right? So a year early. I was pretty surprised when he ended up, when all this stuff picked up steam, I sort of assumed he'd leave, after this year, just because, why would they be talking to him so aggressively if he wasn't going to do that? But, big picture, I was pretty surprised that he's walking away so soon.
Got to keep those around you, the ones you love, happy. There's no doubt about that. It trickles into every part of your life. Did you get the feeling that he wanted to leave? Was he happy at DC United, MLS, doing what he's doing in Maryland, I guess, and commuting to the nation's capital?
Yeah, I mean, I have no reason to say that Wayne wasn't happy at the club. Certainly, I think he's enjoyed his time in MLS. That's not to say he has his frustrations, right? He's expressed frustrations officiating, that sort of stuff. But as far as his life here, he gets on really well with his teammates. I think he's fit in really well. The club has sort of a reminder that ferries him around wherever he'd like to go. And, you know, I think it's been a fun experience for him. So I do think it was two things. You know, it was the family thing, and then also something that he's expressed, which is just, you know, his desire to get into coaching, the chance to do that, you know, 80, 90 miles from your hometown, to get into that, obviously, was something that I think was difficult to turn down for him.
If you've been under a rock for the last couple of days, Wayne Rooney going to Derby County. He will be a player coach at the end of this year. He'll finish things up with DC United, and hopefully they'll make a run for their sake, and then they'll maybe start over. We'll get to that in just a second. But I'm more curious about what happens within a club when your marquee player, the biggest signing you've ever had, the guy that you essentially packaged around the opening of Audi Field that helped really redefine DC in the district, comes to you and says, hey, I know I got a couple years left on my deal. Hey, I know we're trying to make a playoff run. Hey, I know I'm kind of the cornerstone of this club, but I got to go. What was the reaction within DC?
Yeah, I mean, I think Wayne's teammates are understanding of it, right? It's part of the business, but I do think they're pretty bitterly disappointed. I know this isn't an ideal situation for the club, but, you know, if I'm being honest, man, when Wayne came, I think part of the sort of carrot they dangled out to get him here was the length of the deal, right? It was a four-year deal, ton of guaranteed money, and, you know, I don't know that the club is deeply disappointed to be losing him, for example, for 2021. I'm sure they would like to have him in 2020, but, you know, who knows what kind of player you're going to have in 2.5 years. So certainly I think, you know, I think there's a bit of scrambling right now. I know, you know, I think what I would say is that the club is probably, I'm sure, seeing what Wayne has done for the sort of media footprint and cultural kind of cachet of the club in the past year. And I think they know they have to make a, you know, there's only so many Wayne Rooneys in the world, but they're going to have to make some sort of a similar acquisition here in the next 6 months or year. You know, they've sort of set a new expectation, a new reality, so we'll have to see what happens.
What does this mean for Lucho? Lucho Rue took MLS by storm late last summer through the fall. It feels to me like now, if it wasn't already, the writing's on the wall. He's probably gone.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion has been probably for the past month that Lucho will just walk on a free at the end of the year. You know, as for what it means for Lucho Rue, it's difficult to say because they've been so disconnected all year. I mean, you know, so much of that has to do with the fact that, you know, teams just sort of caught on. And you know, if you look at the way they defend Luciano instead of Wayne, I mean, I think Lucho gets the bulk of the attention. It's sort of like cut off the connection at the source, if you will, you know, so... you know, that with combined with you know, I wrote a longer piece about this maybe last month, the disappointment of the PSG falling through, PSG deal falling through, stuff like that. It's been a difficult year, you know. So at the end of the day, they're two incredibly talented players. They certainly could just sort of, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, in the next week or two they flipped a switch and started lighting the world on fire again. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if this year was a pretty forgettable one for Luciano.
Two wins since May 12th. I've repeated that a lot on this show and elsewhere. But GM Dave Casper has been busy, Pablo. He went out and got Ola Kamara from Shenzhen. That stint in China did not last very long. $2.5 million for the number 9, who's never scored fewer than 14 goals in his 3 seasons in MLS. Emma Boateng from the LA Galaxy. Felipe comes over from Vancouver to help him with depth at the defensive midfield position. A flurry of moves, and there were rumors that there would be more. It didn't seem like they got done. How is Dave thinking about these moves? How is the club thinking about roster building? Is this, you know, hey, 2019, let's try to win something in our last go round, or is this strictly we've got to build for 2020 and beyond because our well-laid plans are no longer laid?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Felipe signing to start there is very obviously to address an immediate need. I mean, they just lost Russ Knauss and Chris Durkin to injuries. You know, Russ will be out at least a month. Durkin, I got the feeling his season might be over, but we'll have to see what happens. You know, he has some ligament damage in one of his ankles. Felipe, obviously, is an interesting one because he's, you know, I would say by DC's hardcore fans are not his biggest fan, right? He has sort of a history with the club. He sidelined Fabian Espindola for months, I want to say, in 2014, and people don't forget those kind of things, but personally, I actually don't mind the pickup at all. You know, I think it addresses an immediate need, and he's certainly like a, you know what you're getting, is what I would say. Ola, that's definitely a move that's done with an eye to the future. I mean, obviously they need another forward right now. Be interesting to see how Ben fits him on the field, whether it's in front of Wayne or beside him or whatever he does with him. But, you know, there's really not much to say about Ola other than he's always scored in MLS, you know. And Emma, yeah, I mean, right now they're lacking in speed on the wings. I think Emma's a promising piece, too. You know, I know he's 26, but, you know, I keep hearing, you know, multiple people sort of telling me, oh, the kid hasn't hit a ceiling yet and needs a change of scenery. And you do hear that a lot. You know, I think he also is a good pickup. I actually feel, and you know me, I'm generally a pretty negative guy. Yeah. I actually feel pretty okay about DC's window, objectively, you know, so I think they address most of their needs, you know, and at this point, all we can do is see how Ben fits these guys in and see what happens.
We will see what happens. We'll also see what happens maybe in January, maybe next summer, because you lose Wayne Rooney, you're DC United, you're trying to build your brand back up, the following back up, the cachet around Audi Field, and you're probably looking for big moves. And then Mesut Ozil and Mario Balotelli get linked, and Ozil is either to come play for you or to sell coffee at your stadium, or maybe both. I don't know. What's going on here?
Yeah, I suspect right now it's definitely just a business relationship, you know, but what I would say is the club definitely wants to stay on his radar. I think when they meet next week, certainly I think coffee is not going to be the only thing they talk about. On the other hand, this is a dude who's making 250,000 pounds a week under his current deal, under contract through 2021. And I understand he's been the target of sort of near constant transfer speculation, right? But you have to assume he's a player, not just East United, but like that really no MLS team can afford right now. You know, he is, like I reported yesterday, opening up a coffee shop. I want to say it's called 39 Steps Coffee. He has branches in the UK right now at Audi Field. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, down the line, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked to see him in a DC United uniform. I just don't think it's going to happen in January, you know, but who knows, man. It's crazier things have happened, you know. Somebody made a funny joke yesterday. They said, given the fact that the Ozil thing looks like it's about coffee, they said that maybe DC United have Mario Balotelli and Mario Batali confused.
I was waiting for a potential firework joke right there. I'm glad you didn't go there.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Are these the guys that they're going to go after, though? Not these guys, but this sort of profile of player? Because I look at DC, and they had Wayne, and they had Lucho, and that was kind of what they were building their identity around in a lot of ways. Of course, there's Areola and Birnbaum and all these other guys, Bill Hamid, etc. We don't even know if he'll be back after this year. What are they going to be? What do they see themselves as on the field and off the field?
It is. I mean, I think you wrote about this a little bit the other day. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what United looks like next year. You mentioned, you know, Bill Hamid's loan is expiring. Paul Areola, who just talked to about the other day about this, you know, people are always kind of kicking the tires on him. And I think for the right price, DC would certainly move him. Lucho, we'll assume, is leaving, although, you know, anything could happen. Wayne, obviously, is a goner. As far as who they replace these guys with, I mean, I think, like I said, DC's reality is so different now, man. Like, they have to have, let's just say, the right high-profile player. You know, I don't know that it's Mesut Ozil or Mario Balotelli, but I think their fans sort of slogged through all those years at RFK and very understandingly were like, look, they just sort of have to play quote-unquote Benny Ball and grind results out with East Germanmen and MLS veterans. But that reality has changed. You know, the club is charging a premium for tickets. They sort of remade themselves a little bit, you know. So, look, it's not a stupid front office, right? I mean, they understand this. I mean, I'm sure they have their eyes on potential targets. And honestly, man, I'm excited to see what comes next.
We will see about that. New signings, new players, what the vision is for DC in the future. I want to go back before we get you out of here, just to revisit the idea of one last hurrah for Lucharu and Ben Olsen and all these guys. It hasn't been going well. You said it, and you're, as you also said, more of the cynical variety. Don't seem to think that maybe it'll turn around. How do you think this season ends? How do the last couple months go?
Look, man, I'm not one to make predictions. I mean, realistically, if you look at their form right now, I would say they squeak into the playoffs, and then, you know, anything can happen in postseason, but certainly they're going to have to get it together before then if they want to make a run. I mean, look at last year, they just blazed into the postseason and then just got bounced out very quickly. You know, what I'll say is I don't think that the issues that DC has been having are due to a lack of talent on the field. You know, so I think if Ben can get these guys pointed in the right direction, and, you know, it may take a little kick in the behind, which Ben has said openly, you know, if these guys can sort of, like, get a little nastier, push each other a little bit more, you know, at the end of the day, you have one of the best keepers in the league, right, who can keep you in any game. You've got Luciano Costa, Wayne Rooney, Paul Ariola, who are three, I'm just going to say, top-tier players in the league on a good day. You know, so the talent is there. It's just going to take a mental adjustment, I think, at this point, because they are mired in a slump that's really something else.
Something to grapple with right now on all fronts for DC, mentally, on the field, all over the place. Wayne Rooney is leaving at the end of this season. One last shot with he and Lucheru, we think. Pablo Mauer, you can follow his coverage at The Athletic or on Twitter, at MLSis. Pablo, thanks for joining us, man.
Always a pleasure.
Big thanks to Pablo, one of the best tile images we've ever had. If you don't listen to this show on YouTube or watch, go check it out. Pablo has some of the best profile pictures I have ever seen. But I want to hear from you, the listener. 401-206-0MLS, extratime at MLSsoccer.com. Wayne Rooney's MLS legacy. We use that L word on the show all the time, but I want to know what you think it is. It's incomplete now. What might it be? What will it be in the grand scheme of MLS history? All right, let's talk about deadline day. All the moves in Major League Soccer, and to help guide us through it is Adam Braz, the former technical director of the Montreal Impact. This is our AT&T call to the field. Adam, what's up, man?
How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing good. Where are you watching all the deadline day action today? Are you on your couch in front of the TV? What are you doing?
Yeah, a combination, but I've been glued to my phone throughout last night and into today, and it's been very exciting.
WhatsApp. That is, I hear, the app of choice for managers, general managers, players, agents. Is that the case? How does this work when you're a technical director? Like, is it just constant barrage of information? What's it like?
Yeah, absolutely. You're on your phone constantly. You're talking to agents, other teams, players in some cases, your owner, your coach. So you're constantly, on 24/7 in this period, and you're trying to get things over the line. So it's really busy, exciting, stressful. But that's the beautiful game, and that's the life of a GM.
How much actually gets done? Is there a percentage you can put on it? I'm working on all this, and I know that at the end of the day, it's probably only going to be 30, 40, whatever it is that gets over that line.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to put a percentage on it, but, I think it's important to have a plan in place and have contingency plans in place. And, you know, you're trying to do things strategically, not only for the short-term gain, but also thinking about the long-term interests of your team and your club. So, you have to do all that and be mindful of the salary cap and different restrictions that we live in the MLS. But ultimately, you try to do the best you can to fit the right pieces into the puzzle.
We're going to get your winners from this transfer window in Major League Soccer. We'll talk about some wiggling with the salary cap and Christian Pavone and the Galaxy. Brian Rodriguez, big fee coming in for him with LAFC, and more. There's so much to talk about. But first, we just talked to Pablo Mauer. I want to understand what it might be like to be a technical director or a GM, and your short-term and your long-term plans revolve around Wayne Rooney, and he comes to you and says, hey, I cannot fulfill my contract. I have to leave early. What does that do to that planning that's in place at a club?
Well, it's definitely a difficult situation to navigate through. Ultimately, the way I see it is that everyone there on both sides handled it really professionally and with respect. It must have not been easy for Dave Casper and Ben Olsen and the ownership, because they put a lot into bringing Wayne Rooney in, and he was a major part of their team, not only now, but moving forward into the next couple of years. So in the short term, it doesn't affect them on the field so much, because they'll finish out the year. And obviously, he's going to want to finish out by winning MLS Cup and leaving a legacy. But now in the medium and long term, it does affect them. and they'll have to sit down and analyze as to, you know, how they want to replace that DP slot, you know, and whether it's going to be with a similar type of profile in terms of the position, or are they going to look to address a different need? I think they'll probably look to address a different position because they got Ola Kamara, and he'll play up front moving forward into next year.
All right, let's widen it out a little bit. It may be a little bit reductive to look at it this way, but I want your three teams in Major League Soccer that you think won the transfer window and why.
Okay, in no particular order, LAFC, because they're top of the league, they're playing great soccer. You know, they have quality players, a good system of play, a good coach, and yet they're not resting on their laurels. They went out and spent, you know, a reported $11.5 million, which would be the third highest transfer fee in MLS history. And it's a young player who's talented, who can help them now, but also they're investing in the future. You know, and they were able to also trade away Christian Ramirez, who hasn't been playing much, and who makes over $600,000. So, you know, that's a good move moving forward in terms of their salary cap situation. DC United, they've been very active in this window. You know, overall on the field, they've been inconsistent, and they had to address that and bring in some fresh new faces. They addressed their situation in central midfield, bringing in Felipe. They've dealt with some injury problems recently, and they needed cover there. They brought in Ola Kamara, who's a proven striker in MLS and scored a ton of goals, and he'll come in with a chip on his shoulder after things didn't go his way in China. And lastly, they brought in Emmanuel Boateng from the Galaxy, who will add some pace and quality on the flanks and offer them some dangerous play from there. So I think they address certain needs, and all of those players come with MLS experience, so they shouldn't have a difficult time adapting to the league or their new surroundings. And lastly, LA Galaxy, you know, big move by bringing in Christian Pavon. He's young, but tons of experience, an Argentinian international who played in the 2018 World Cup, and you know, about a year ago was a reported $40 million transfer target for Arsenal. So when you think about that type of move and that statement and what it signifies, you know, for the whole league, I think it's very positive. And then when you look at their team, you'll have Ibrahimovic flanked by Antuna and Pavon, and then the three in the middle will probably be Dos Santos, Corona, and Leggett. So, you know, I'm looking at that team and I'm thinking that, you know, they have everything they need to try to make a run now to move up the table, get into the playoffs on a high, and then, you know, obviously anything can happen, but they'll be a dangerous team, and this is a huge move.
Two teams in LA, DC United handling that Rooney situation with aplomb and then reloading a little bit. Any other teams that stand out to you for their moves?
Yeah, there are a few other teams. So Columbus, in that they've also been very active, you know, one of the most active teams in the window. And I think that's Bezbachenko and Porter using this window as really their first window together with time to plan and putting their stamp on the team. New England, I think Bo is a big signing and a major investment by their ownership group. And also shows the support in the new Bruce Arena era. So he's shown his quality in the few games that he's been available, and they're obviously trying to make a push and get in the playoffs. Minnesota, you know, a huge young DP coming in, reported $4 million transfer fee. So that's a big move as well, because it's showing their intent to invest in young players. They've had a fantastic season so far, including last night's win and getting to the Open Cup final. So I think they're now starting to build their club up, and the stadium obviously has been a big plus for them. And lastly, Toronto FC. They addressed their wide player needs that Vanny had mentioned that he wanted in the squad, and they added Omar Gonzalez to their back line. They've had some issues at the back. Some shakiness, and I think Gonzalez provides the experience and the know-how to try to fix that up.
Before we get to Pavone here, all these moves, big money, big names, big potential, just the pure volume. It's not something that maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years would be commonplace, would have happened in this league. How have you seen it change? The amount of investment, the player targeting, what is the difference and where is this going?
Yeah, I think it's been great to see. It speaks to the growth and the, you know, maturation of the league itself and all the clubs. And also it's a credit to the ownership groups for, you know, willing to invest in players to increase the quality on the field. But I think they also see that, you know, there's a potential return on the investment, because we're seeing more and more outgoing transfers from MLS for significant amounts of money. And I think that's, you know, part of the whole whole process in terms of developing and growing as a league. So when you look 5 years ago, I don't think anyone would have, you know, imagined spending $10 million on a player. But now, you know, it's becoming more common, and teams understand that these players can help a lot on the field. But then once they can sell them for a profit, they can reinvest that profit into the club in different ways.
A free loan. That's what people are saying this Christian Pavone deal is for the Galaxy. Let's just say they got creative. Let's just say that some people, myself included, applaud this because it shows ambition. It shows clubs trying to do whatever they can to work around the salary cap, the restrictions in place, and put the best team on the field they can. Others will say that they're circumventing the rules and that's not fair. How do you see this move for Pavone?
I agree with you. I applaud them, and I think it's a good move. So, you know, when you analyze it, it wasn't an easy move for the Galaxy. They needed to finagle and maneuver their way into making this work. He's obviously a DP caliber player, you know, with DP value, but they don't have an open DP slot. So they have to find a way to make it work using TAM. The first issue in saying that is they obviously didn't have enough TAM available, so they had to go out and acquire it. How did they do that? They traded Boateng to DC for $250,000 of TAM, and they swapped GAM for TAM with Orlando and got about $136,000 and change. So they had to do that first in order to acquire the TAM necessary. Now, how do they then structure a deal with Boca Juniors to make it work so that for the rest of this year, Pavone is under the DP threshold? Well, the free loan means that, you know, none of the future loan fee will hit the cap right now. So that means only his salary will count towards the cap, which means they could keep it under the threshold. Now, here's where it gets interesting. There's an option to extend the loan by a year for a reported $600,000, and his salary would increase. Now, that's in 2020, meaning that he would be a DP under the current rules. We understand that there's going to be a new CBA, and, you know, that's an unknown, but under the current rules, he would be a DP. That's not an issue for LA because Ibrahimovic and Alessandrini's contracts are up at the end of 2019, so they'll have flexibility. And then there's the option to buy him for reported 20 million euros. Now, I think this happens because of a couple of things. One is the relationship between Scalotto and Boca Juniors, you know, and that obviously helped the equation. I'm sure the intermediaries or agents helped. And, you know, I think ultimately to close was able to probably with a gentleman's agreement, you know, convince Boca Juniors that this is going to be, you know, a longer term deal and not end after the 6 months. So with all that being said, you know, it's complicated, it's difficult, it's tricky, but I applaud Dennis DeClos and the LA Galaxy for making it work and also, you know, making a statement with such a big signing.
It is a statement, not just because of the money and the maneuvering, because of the quality of the player. He was one of the standouts for Argentina in Russia in 2018. Things have gotten a little bit shaky for him at Boca, but he had plenty of big performances. What kind of player is Christian Pavone going to be in this league, in your opinion?
he's going to be exciting. He's a wide player. He'll look to take players on. He'll look to combine, you know, and he can play on both flanks. So, you know, obviously you have Ibrahimovic that gets on the end of things and that can score goals in the box. And now you have pace, trickery, and good attacking play on both wings. And, you know, it also really helps him that he knows the coach, he knows what to expect, and that will help him settle down quickly. But it's going to be exciting to watch him, and I think it's fantastic for everyone in the league to, you know, to have a type of player like this that ultimately chooses to come to play in MLS, because, you know, he didn't have to come to MLS. He could have gone elsewhere, and so I think it's great for the league that these types of players are choosing to come play in the league, you know, at this point in their career at 23, 24 years old.
Let's take 4 or 5 years off of that and talk about Brian Rodriguez in LAFC. You mentioned him earlier, reported $11.5 million. Peñarol is the club he's coming from. It's the same club that Diego Rossi came from, and it looks like he may be sold to Europe sometime soon. Reports that Fiorentina would like to pay $17 million for him. You can take that with a grain of salt. We'll see what happens with him. But Brian Rodriguez is a huge prospect in Uruguay. He is probably Peñarol's best young player, and LAFC have created this incredible pipeline. What does it take to create that pipeline, and what does it mean that MLS clubs are saying, you know what, $11.5 million, that's actually worth it to spend on a young, relatively unproven player from South America?
Well, what it takes is, you know, building a relationship with that club. You do that through, obviously, the first deal, which is, you know, normally the most important, but through those discussions, you start to build a rapport that, you know, you guys are on the same page. Both clubs are on, and both directors are on the same page in terms of doing things the right way, being transparent, being honest, you know, in the negotiations and in the moves. And then, you know, ultimately Peñarol is looking at it saying, okay, you know, Rossi went to LAFC. He's now worth, you know, a reported $17 million. They probably kept a percentage of a future sale. So they're saying, okay, MLS players that go to MLS from our club you can increase in value by playing for a good club like LAFC. So there's business to be done there. And I think, you know, it speaks volumes about where the league is at, that teams are spending upwards of $11 million on young talent from South America and getting ahead of some European clubs that that probably want those players. So well done to LAFC and well done to MLS for supporting these types of moves.
You know, I love these, but I do know there is some risk. And when you look around the league for the last 3-4 years and some of the players with this similar sort of profile who have come in, they're not all hits. They're not all Diego Rossi's. They're certainly not all Miguel Almirón's. So when you're a technical director, a GM, and you're looking at these prospects, how do you weigh that risk-reward?
Yeah, so, you know, as a starting point, it's impossible to get every player right. And you see that all over the world. But the key, in my opinion, is to have a really good, solid scouting structure and do your due diligence and do your homework. I think, you know, the days of one guy watching a few highlight videos and then deciding to sign a player, I think those days are long gone for most clubs. You know, I think it's important to scout in advance of the transfer windows, 1 or 2 windows in advance. Watch players live, you know, as much as possible. Get to know the background of the player, you know, as a person as well, because you're not only signing a soccer player, you're signing a person, and you need to know about them and where they came from and what makes them tick. And so when you gather all that information, then you make more informed decisions. It mitigates the risk, you know, and gives you a better chance of getting it right more often than not.
I have to ask you, as we talk about all these deals and the moving parts and how clubs get it done and players as people and who they are and where they came from and how you get them to succeed in your environment, you mentioned intermediaries and agents, and those are kind of the silent movers and shakers in this whole process. How much influence do those people have? How much can they change a deal, get a deal done, prevent a deal from getting done? Can you just kind of pull back the curtain for us just a little bit?
Yeah, they play a big part in all of this, all of these dealings. You know, a lot of intermediaries and agents have major influence, not only on the players, but also on different clubs, and they can alter how a deal goes. So, you know, it's an area that you read about a lot in world soccer, and some of the biggest ones have the biggest influences in terms of the biggest transfers in the world. But you need to be able to navigate it. You need to be able to understand who the intermediaries are and who the agents are, and try to build a rapport with them and an understanding, and have a good working professional relationship with them in order to make certain moves come through.
The agent I think we've heard the most from, Adam, this transfer window is Aaron Long's, Sean Higgins. And there's now some news out there saying that the Red Bulls rejected an offer from a fringe club that would have equaled the MLS record transfer fee for a defender. What do you make of this situation with Aaron Long, where the Red Bulls reportedly are saying, you're worth this much, the offers obviously aren't there, and Aaron Long is saying, I'd like to go? How do you navigate that as a TD or GM?
Yeah, it's difficult, you have to manage the player first and foremost, and have to make sure that as long as he's with the club, he's acting in a professional way and not being a distraction and continuing to fulfill his responsibilities, which it seems like Aaron Long is doing. It's not easy because the player wants to go and fulfill a dream of potentially playing overseas in the Premier League or other leagues. But ultimately, as far as the transfer value goes, you can speak about certain things, whether it's the age of a player, the number of years left on his contract, other similar transfers within the league outgoing. But at the end of the day, it's an arbitrary value that teams could put on a player. So they have to weigh up, what does it mean to them to lose Aaron Long right now as far as their playoff and championship aspirations go? And, is the amount enough for them to go out in the marketplace and find a likewise replacement, 27-year-old defender of the year, a player from abroad? So I think those are the things that Dennis Hamlett and company will be weighing up. But as far as the human side of things, Chris Armas and Dennis Hamlett will be trying to manage Aaron Long in the best way possible, and continuously keeping the dialogue open and making sure he understands how important he is for the club.
How much does the complicated math with transfer fees incoming affect that decision-making process? Because if somebody says, for instance, hey, $4 million for Aaron Long, it's not just $4 million on the dot that rolls into the Red Bulls for them to use as they please. How much does that change sort of the calculus for MLS GMs?
Yeah, it does. You need to calculate, what's ultimately the net amount that you as a club are going to get. Because if you have to share some of the transfer fee with the league based on the league rules, or if there potentially is a percentage that has to go to a previous club, in some cases when you acquire a player from abroad initially, you need to calculate all that and then determine, okay, what is the net amount coming in, and is it worth it? Is that what we want for this player before making a decision? So it's not just the transfer offer that everyone should look at. I think people need to look behind that and understand that not all of that necessarily is going to end up with the club.
All right, Adam, one more for you before we get you out of here. We have talked about Brian Rodriguez and Pavone, et cetera, et cetera. We have not talked about Inter Miami, and they made a pretty darn big splash this summer as well. Mateus Pellegrini, Julian Carranza coming over from Argentina, two young attacking players, big transfer fees attached to those. We figure they'll go get another DP at some point that's a little bit more high profile. They are building from scratch, as every expansion club has the opportunity to do, which I believe you got the opportunity to do, so to a certain extent, with the Impact. Do you like the way that Miami are doing it? How would you do it in this day and age?
Yeah, I do like the way they're doing it. I think the first thing is to establish your philosophy as a club and what type of club you want to be. From there, you know, you need to have a clear vision of how you want to play, how your team is going to play, and create player profiles according to that. And at that point, then, you know, develop your scouting structure and network and start scouting the players. But what I like is that they're, you know, investing in young, talented players who have upside, who will inject youth and excitement onto the field. And then they'll obviously look for a return on investment in a few years' time to then reinvest in the roster, in the club, et cetera. But it's, you know, it's a very good model. And I think that if you, again, if you scout well, if you identify targets in advance and do your due diligence and get them right, I think it can bear fruit, not only in the short term, you know, with the results on the field when they start, but also in the long term with the return on the investment. So I think they're obviously have a clear strategy, which is always important as a new team. And I'm sure they're going to add experienced players, you know, from abroad and within the league to complement those young talents.
Return on investment. That's more and more important, excuse me, as MLS teams spin more. And oh boy, they're spinning. According to some reports, more than $111 million in fees in just this year. Adam Brass, former technical director of the Montreal Impact, sharing his expertise with us here on Extra Time. Adam, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Andrew.
Valuable insight there from Adam Brass. Transfer window, intense, lots of moves. Not so many outgoing moves, but the window is still open in a lot of countries that are not England. You're talking about Germany, Spain, Italy, Mexico, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe some moves coming. Diego Rossi, rumored, linked with Fiorentina. I'm looking at Albert Elise and Mauro Minotas, especially after they went and picked up Christian Ramirez.
Don't
do that to me. And thinking maybe the Dynamo are about to flip some players.
Don't do that to me.
What did you like? What didn't you like? What caught your attention from this transfer window? What are the big moves for you?
Well, Pavone, I think, is a big one, obviously, with the Galaxy looking to try and get to the very top. And I want to see how he does with Ibra. How do those two match? But I think also for the next couple years, that's going to be a great move. And then Ola Kamara, I think that one stands out as much of a sure bet as you can get in the transfer market right now, knowing what he is in MLS. He leaves for 6 months. He comes right back. Going to fit with that DC system with the strength that they have on the wing play. Some uncertainty there, of course, as you guys went through, but I really like that move for DC.
Minnesota, Braz mentioned it. Tomas Chacon, he is the young DP from Danubio that they signed. $4 million. Your read on this one should probably be that Dario Benedetti stuff that was going around for basically a year that could never get over the line. It just didn't work. They basically went out ahead and said, you know what, this is a really good young player. He's going to be, we think, our string puller, our attacking midfielder of the future, and a guy that we could invest in and get a payoff from, and we're not going to wait around until a team like Club America is sniffing. We're going to be the team that eventually flips him. I would guess that Minnesota, given what they're doing this year, Darwin Quintero, et cetera, will let him settle for 6 months, and then maybe next year he's the guy that you look to. And maybe if Darwin doesn't keep rolling, you look at Darwin and say, you know what, we don't actually have to invest the money there. Maybe we have a good enough team without him to push on. Maybe we can invest. Montreal Impact made some interesting moves. Bojan, Balutabla is back.
I like those.
Yes.
I really like those too. And Bojan, I know, has had a bunch of injuries, but he's only 28 years old. And I feel like with the style of play, with the technical ability that he has, and the experience that he has coming to MLS, I think is going to be a really good league for him. He has athleticism, quick, crafty, going to have some nice balance, whether they use him in the middle of the pitch or they use him a little bit more out wide, where I expect him to kind of give that counterbalance to Piatti. And then Balutabla, yeah, we see the big transfer, but to be able to come back, get meaningful minutes in MLS in a system in a place that he knows he can be successful, that's a positive, I think, for MLS. Maybe he goes back over later when he's a little bit more seasoned.
Absolutely. Seattle Sounders, we knew they were going to make a deal. They snuck one in. Emmanuel Sashini, he is the 22-year-old from Malaga, midfielder, reinforced that spine. He went to the Sounders this morning. Luis Silva as well, I think, probably to help with that Will Bruin injury. Josh Sims to the Red Bull from Southampton. Young DP on loan for the rest of the year. He impacted them in the Premier League late last year. Mostly off the bench. We'll see what he can do, whether that's a big enough signing for Red Bulls fans.
Who do you think missed out on who you were hoping were going to make a move to really push them over the top that maybe didn't?
I mean, honestly, it might be the Red Bulls. We'll see what Josh Sims is. I know right now everybody's saying, I don't really love it. I talked to Joe Prince-Wright of NBC. He's a big Southampton guy. He says, I think this guy can actually really impact the team. It's a question of whether he realizes his potential and can do it from the jump of games, because he's mostly been a sub, and he didn't really play at Reading. So the Red Bulls are the team that I feel like have the highest ceiling and a fan base that is so hungry, and this didn't actually like satiate their hunger.
Well, maybe an addition by not subtraction?
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Keeping Aaron Long, he's such a crucial part to that piece. So the fact that they didn't sell him, I think, says something about the ambition that they have for the rest of the season.
Christian McCoon, he goes to Inter Miami. He's a captain of the U-20 Venezuelan national team, center midfielder, maybe a center back. Vancouver Whitecaps got a Honduran winger who spent the last year on loan in Liga MX, Michael Chirinos. Derek Etienne Jr., he moved on. He went to Cincinnati. Joe Zhao went to Cincinnati as well. Michael Azira traded. Anibal Godoy traded from San Jose to Nashville for $650K in GAM. That one's effective 2020. That one feels like a little bit of a stretch. Kellen Rowe also moved to RSL from Sporting Kansas City. All the coverage at MLSsoccer.com. I'm sure.
By the way, I think all this happened at All-Star. I just saw so many people hanging out in the sort of VIP deck at the match when I went up there to try and get a quesadilla for free.
You are all about the quesadillas.
Which did work, yeah. I'm all about it.
Okay.
But yeah, I saw definitely some wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, moving and shaking. As Adam said, it all happens until the deadline hits and maybe even a little bit afterwards. We have very little time left and we have two things we need to do. We need to talk about week 23, some big games. Hell is Real is here.
And?
Columbus, Cincinnati.
And
DCLA. So you talked about Ibra, you talked about Rooney. Well, they're going to face off. I think this is it for them, unless they meet in MLS Cup. It's on FS1 on Sunday. How is Rooney going to react? I believe he landed back in D.C. on this Thursday after sealing everything with Derby County. How will D.C. react?
I think it'll be a weight off his shoulders. I mean,
yeah,
just the certainty and just knowing that he's going to be going back will allow him to really sort of cherish the moment, try and push as much as he can. To leave on a good note, he is a proud player. You saw even just in the All-Star match where it was kind of nice to see him and Ibra connect on a few occasions, but He was getting into tackles in that match. He was dropping.
He said afterwards, like, I don't know why people weren't trying harder.
Yeah, look at the moments that we will remember of Wayne Rooney where he runs back. And I know we're gonna do the sort of post mortem at some point, but the tackle, the response, his character is what it is. But I think in some ways this is an opportunity for him to really finish the season and leave his legacy in MLS.
I don't doubt his commitment at all.
Yeah.
Family issues, those things you can't control. Atlanta, New York City on ESPN. That's a possible playoff preview. Two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. If you listen to us, you know that we think they're probably the top two. So who comes out on top in that game? And then ESPN Plus-wise, I think Toronto-Orlando on Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. That's an absolute six-pointer. It's the eighth-place team and the ninth-place team in the East. Both should believe that they could climb if they start going. Orlando, how do they respond to the disappointment in the U.S. Open Cup? And then Toronto, they're under pressure. This is a must-win game. Orlando at home, you spent a lot of money, you spent a lot of TAM, you reinforced your team, you better make the playoffs. There's a lot of pressure there. Before we get out of here, and a reminder, all the coverage, all the times, everything you need to know about the weekend is MLSsoccer.com. We will be with you on Sunday.
MLS.com, you mean.
Sorry, MLS.com.
Get
you
it right.
Correct.
Show some respect.
And if you need a three-bedroom fixer-upper, that's also at MLSsoccer.com as well. MLS.com. I'm just so confused now. I think we have about a minute left, and I don't know what to do with that minute. I would go to the mailbag, but there's not enough time. It's like, do I just open it up? Is there something you want to talk about?
Maybe.
Is like a movement episode coming
out?
You
know why I'm here. No. Just really to respond to Adrian now.
Okay.
We do have a movement episode. Can I get a second?
Take the floor.
Come on. Give me a second. Okay. Start the clock. You ready?
It started.
Okay.
You're using minutes.
We have a
valuable time.
We have a movement episode that's out right now on YouTube. We went to LAFC and did one. We went during Ramadan and spent time. There's three Muslim players on LAFC, Diamande, Latif, Blessing, and Mohamed El Munir. We spent a ton of time with Mohamed, who was super generous with it because during that stretch, it's a really busy time for the club. The club was super gracious and welcoming to us top to bottom, including Bob Bradley and John Thorrington. But performance director, we went through everything to understand how the club really comes around these players. Mohamed particularly was really gracious as far as taking us to a mosque, to the Islamic Center of downtown LA, telling him his story about Libya. And so it's really about the Muslim American experience. And I've played with a bunch of guys who are Muslim, but I haven't really seen how that all comes together in MLS. I learned a ton. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And so it was really cool to learn a little bit more about these guys' experience. And then just today, as a carrot on top, I got a really dope track licensed from this Muslim American artist named Narsi, and it's got a Talib Kweli feature. So that'll be in the piece too.
Wow.
Boom.
Boom.
Check it out.
Yeah, you fit it right in. You fit it right in.
Thank
That's
you.
Extra time for today. Big thanks to Adam Braz. Big thanks to Pablo Maurer, as well as to Kaylin Carr for coming in here doing the two-man show with me. That's it for us, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. We'll be right back.